As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Join us this Saturday for an all-new episode of The Athletic NBA Show. Saturday Slam and Jam, hosted by me, Andrew Schlecht. I'll be joined by my co-hosts Alex Spears and many of the Athletic beat writers that you know and love. We will recap the week of the NBA, play some NBA trivia, and just overall talk about the league that we love most. So while you're flipping your flapjacks, tending to your yard, or just sipping your coffee on Saturday morning, listen to Saturday Slam and Jam on the Athletic NBA Show.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
He keeps throwing elbows. What do you want me to do?
I want you to stand up to him, you pussy.
Welcome to Point of Contention. Five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. Coming up on the show, Shaq out of touch. Lloyd Pierce gets jacked. Harden returns to Houston. And what the hell is Top Shot? I'm Zach Harper, the host of POC. Jade Hoy producing in this corner. The Bay Area legend, author of two best-selling books about the Warriors. One of them I'm holding up to a camera on a podcast right here. Marcus Thompson. Marcus, if you were starting a franchise, would you take Chris Bosh or Julius Randle?
Julius Randle all day, because my desire would be to be a terrible franchise and live off the revenue sharing. Let's go.
Wow. Mm. Wow. Also, Chris Bosh has serious blood clot issues. In this corner, the author of The Victory Machine, now in paperback, the Bay Area suburban legend, Ethan Strauss. Ethan, speaking of books, I need a good book recommendation. I'm thinking of starting to read. Any good books out there?
Especially ones
maybe
in paperback.
The Victory Machine.
You got any paperback?
Yeah, The Victory Machine, out in paperback this week. Ladies and gentlemen, by all means, buy it. And Zach, I still owe your mom a signed copy.
Yeah,
I got
do.
Afraid of going to the post office when the pandemic
you
hit. I'm
coward.
Very sorry about it. I'm racked with guilt. I felt badly about it the whole time. It's like Tony and Hesh with the gambling debts. It's been on my mind. It's been infiltrating our friendship. I'm sorry, but The Victory Machine, a fantastic book. Very entertaining. A peek behind the curtain of the modern NBA. You will not be disappointed by it today.
There it is. I found it.
Woo!
Man, also, where'd you have
Kevin
to dig
book
to get that?
Me.
Jeez.
Next to a James Franco DVD, oddly
it's,
enough.
It's like White Men Can't Jump. He's pulling it out of his pants and his socks.
I'm just pulling books everywhere. All right, Jade, start the clock. Take one. Speaking of reading, are you old school or are you new school? Here we go again, guys. Last week, it was Nate Duncan. This week, it's the one and only Shaquille O'Neal on Tuesday night's edition of Inside the NBA. Very awkward exchange between Shaq, Candace Parker, and Dwayne Wade about how modern pick and roll defense works. Jade, play the tape.
Like, the NBA switches now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
why? Whatever happened?
Because everybody can shoot threes.
Whatever happened to man up?
Because you're going to be manning up, trying to recover back to your man, and they're going to hit a three just like Jokic did.
No, but whatever happened to pre-rotating and
then they move the ball around. And
you got 4 to 5 3-point shooters on the court. You ain't going to rotate enough time.
Not rotating. Not rotating.
Yeah, but you got to take the easy pass away. Like, if you ain't going to switch, you got to take the easy
pass. So that's what I'm saying.
But now you have guys that can throw the ball from one side of the court and find the guy in rhythm.
That's an energy I need bottled up and sold, they said. This all coming just weeks after another fangled exchange with Jazz point guard Donovan Mitchell.
You are one of my favorite players, but you don't have what it takes to get to the next level. I said it on purpose. I wanted you to hear it. What do you have to say about that?
All right.
Wait, there's more. Earlier this week, Shaq appeared on the Dan Patrick Show and said this about young players in the league. Quote, I'm just doing what was done to me. I can remember when I was averaging 30, 35 in L.A., but we were always getting swept, and the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said, hey, you guys haven't won a championship yet. Did I whine? So guys, now, they're pudding pops. Ethan, that's even an old reference. Ethan, this all has to be good for ratings. I'm wondering, what would your quote tweet be about this exchange between Shaq, Wade, and Candace?
I just feel like I'm a natural contrarian, at least against NBA Twitter, because I enjoy Shaq. I enjoy it. That exchange with him and Candace Parker, fantastic. She demonstrated a great facility with the modern game. He provided incredible comedy to us. Whenever I'm watching Inside, I don't quite know what's going to happen. It's live television. And I do think that that NBA Twitter can get a little up its own orifice on some of these things. I understand the desire for more analysis. I understand the desire for smarter breakdowns. But there is this thing of, you know, you want Shaquille O'Neal off Inside. Are you aware that he's literally one of the most famous people on earth? Like, literally one of the most famous human beings on earth. Like, when I was in college and we were watching the NBA Finals, we had a girl over there who was from, she was from rural Siberia, and she knew who Shaquille O'Neal was. It was the only guy she knew, the only one. I don't know if you're necessarily going to get the best results kicking him off the Inside set and replacing him with, I don't know, Chauncey Billups or whoever. So I support Shaq. I love the dynamic with him and Chuck. It works for me. I see it as a comedy show with shenanigans, and it doesn't mean that I go there for analysis. I am entertained. I like it the way it is, or at least I think that you're going to lose something if you try to give Shaq the boot.
So who's trying to give Shaq the boot, by the way?
NBA Twitter. NBA Twitter.
NBA Twitter wants him out. They want him out.
I think they want Chuck out too. I think they want them both out.
And then they'll complain when they're gone. That's what will happen.
Oh, the show's not as entertaining as it used to be.
Here's the problem. Yeah. I don't believe Shaq should get the boot. I do enjoy Shaq. Anybody who's expected Shaq to turn into like
Jackie Moon,
that's your fault anyway, right? Like, that's not who Shaq is. Shaq is there to put a little punch in the Kool-Aid. But the problem is, where do you actually get this other side? Where does it come from? Where do we get the Candace Parkers?
Kenny Smith subtweet.
Where do we? Jade. No, I'm just Jade saying, can we bleep that name that Marcus dropped? Because that guy once tried to tell me that George Mike and scene.
Maybe he is. I don't know. Never saw him.
I never saw him either. It's
exactly.
Do you have a drill named after you?
I'm just saying, if all of the top
shows...
That's a
joke I cannot finish.
If all of the top... I can't believe I dropped that name, by the way. Like, that's a terrible name to drop.
Names.
It just came to my head. Like, it's just terrible.
Oh, my God.
Awful name to drop.
But the reason that Marcus struggled and got caught up in the air for analysis is that we don't have a lot of former players on TV.
Like,
doing what Draymond did in Spot
War. That's my point. Inside the NBA is a lot of fun. That's the point of the show. But then everybody tries to mimic Inside the NBA because it's such a great show. And in the end, we end up with no show that breaks down basketball. We end up no mainstream show that takes us into the games like we used to get when it was NBA on NBC. And you had, you know, Buckner breaking down the game, the matchup before the game. Like, we don't get that anymore.
But did we have that? Did we have that? Because Bill Walton was also interrupting him trying to talk about, like, Mount Vesuvius.
But he was
so, like, I do think there's a certain level to this.
No, Bill Walton brought something.
I remember Peter Vesey trying to get punched is mainly what I remember from the NBA and NBC breakdown.
Before the game, they actually talked about the game. But your point is well taken. Like, that was crazy. Like, we just need a mainstream vehicle where that can be preeminent.
Isn't that what Kenny Smith does, though? The halftime pictures? Like, Kenny Smith breaks down.
I mean, it's right? It's like a 2-minute segment inside of the whole thing of Barkley takes and banter between, like, it's a part.
That might be, but the most successful studio show might be the most successful one because they're not being basketball nerds.
And let's be real. We enjoy Kenny Smith. We're not taking a shot at Kenny Smith, but he's not exactly the guy who's going to say, hey, they're top blocking right now. This is how you counter it. That's not exactly what he's doing.
I just don't think that show is for that. But I think people are reacted to it because there is no great show that just breaks down basketball.
It's really a subtweet of ESPN because this is the niche that ESPN maybe should be filling. Yeah, like you need to zig when they are zagging. You are not going to out inside. That's going to be shenanigans and comedy and Charles Barkley going right up to the line talking about big old women in San Antonio. You're going to do something different. You're going to do something else. So I am happy with what inside is. It regularly amuses me. Yes, in an ideal world, you would have all that comedy and you would have exquisite analysis of the game, but this is the world we're living in, and I like inside. We just need ESPN to become the nerd show. Settled. Yeah. Done. We figured it out.
Marcus, do we think casual fans want it? Do they want that? Or do they want Shaq?
No, casual fans want Shaq. I want Shaq. Everybody wants Shaq, by the way. Like, everybody needs Shaq. But it's not like the casual fan doesn't drive the conversation. The casual fan doesn't move the needle from the perspective of dialogue, right? It's you right. and I who want some. It's the people who listen to NBA podcasts all day, right? Those are the people who want more and are not getting it. And since they tend to, they don't necessarily like create the conversation, but some of the like benchmarks of the conversation do come from that crowd. Like you said, top locking, right? Like casual fans didn't come up with that and turn it into a cliche. That was us. So this community of diehards do have an impact on the dialogue about the NBA, and we need something. Like, that's just bottom line. We need something.
Agreed.
So they're trying to give Shaq the boot. Speaking of getting the boot, take two. Did Lloyd Pierce get rooked?
But they're not going to rook us.
Heading over to Atlanta, fellas, where Lloyd Pierce was fired shortly into his third season as Hawks head coach. According to reports, Pierce lost the support of some of the key players on the team, including Trae Young, their centerpiece player. Pierce's firing brought on both shock and concern around the league. Mavs head coach Rick Carlisle called the move insane. By the way, I think he's also the president of the coaches union. This is a shocking development to all of us in the coaching world. The timing seems odd. The team had injuries, a lot of those kinds of things. But Lloyd is a guy that's had a profound effect on the landscape of social justice, particularly over the last year. End quote. In 2.5 seasons, Pierce led the team to an overall record of 63-120 as they rebuilt. Assistant coach Nate McMillan takes over as the team's interim head coach. Marcus, did Lloyd Pierce get a raw deal?
I want to say so. Trust me. I really want to say so. I want to blame this on racism. I do. I want to cite this as another example of the black man being kept down.
Do it.
I can't. Because bottom line is, you can't lose the locker room in the NBA. You just can't do it. You cannot lose it. Now, should the players have given up on him so soon? I don't know. I just know if you lose the locker room in the NBA, you're done. Period. That's it. And he lost the locker room. Did you see Trae Young's comments afterwards? It wasn't like, oh no, what a horrible day. I lost my guy. Look, I don't know how I'm going to move on.
Some people got to go.
Ethan, we've seen it happen, right? We've seen when the coach get fired, how the whole everybody's glue. We've seen how the superstar responds when he didn't want the coach to go.
Trae Young was like blowing smoke off the pistol.
You just can't lose the locker room and stay in the NBA. You just can't do it.
Also, I don't think Rick Carlisle is helping. I mean, Greg Popovich gave an assessment of Pierce that was quite complimentary of his coaching, which is what you want to do when you've been fired from a coaching job. And it's not damning with faint praise, I guess, but it's kind of damning with extravagant praise that isn't necessarily the praise that you would want. And it was just very odd that that was the commentary. I mean, when you look at that and you talk about how shocking and insane it is, it's not, oh, because this guy is such an innovative coach and he does such a brilliant job. And oh my God, that team performs so much better than we thought they would. And I think that was more in line with what Popovich was saying, but you're not even really seeing that with Carlisle. And I sometimes wonder if he's really the guy to be head of the coaches union. That's for them to figure out. That's their coaches union. But he is, I think, regarded as a good coach, but maybe not the best communicator in the world. And he comes out there and he says some of these statements and it's just kind of, dude, what are you doing? That's not really that doesn't really make sense in the context of the coaches union. You should be backing your guy and say he got a raw deal because he got a raw deal on a coaching level.
On that point, Ethan, though, we've seen Michelle Roberts come out for the players union and say, how do you leave this guy off of You know, how do you leave this guy off of all defense without saying who you would then take off? Right? Like, yeah, I do think there is sort of this,
I did have that thought of, like, you know, the Mavericks aren't exactly ahead of expectations, you know? You think it's so insane. Like, Stan Van Gundy's talking about how insane it is. I'm like, yeah, I think it's pretty insane that the Pelicans haven't been as good as I thought they would be, you know? There are...
No, but if you really feel strongly about it,
isn't
that kind of the role of these unions at this point? Right? Like, it's like, all right, Michelle Roberts just comes out and not blindly, but capes for a player without telling you which player then has to be taken off an award, right? The coaches come out and just say, this guy was fired? Ridiculous! Without really having to address it. Like, I do think that's just kind of the role PR-wise.
That's my new rule for the coaches and for Jeff Van Gundy, who, I mean, I enjoy, but he is an inveterate coach defender. Like with the All-Star team, whenever one of these coaches gets fired, you need to say, no, it should have been that guy. Like, that's what we need. We need, it should have been that guy when a coach gets fired. If you're complaining about it and saying it's so awful, we just need another option. So that's the new rule I'm coming out with.
There's another
that we know about because he used to be with the Warriors. The odd part about this is Travis Schlenk and Lloyd Pierce are actually really tight. They developed a relationship from when Lloyd Pierce was with the Warriors. So, I mean, he got off by his friend. You know what I'm saying? Wasn't like somebody.
You know what that is? That's ownership. That's ownership siding with the player who doesn't the coach. Whatever you want, kid. Yeah, this is your world.
That's a tough one, man.
Sign the extension.
Travis is a hard dude. Travis is a hard dude, though, man. I mean, I enjoyed him, but I remember because Travis worked for the Miami Heat organization. I once said, "So what did you think of Pat Riley? What was it like working with him?" And he said, "Oh, he's an asshole, just like me." like the way he said it makes you feel like he means it. There's a hard edge to Travis. So that's a tough thing, man. I'm not saying that Travis isn't a person, but you know, it doesn't surprise me that when a hard call needs to get made and it's business over friendship. That's rough though. That's the NBA.
I'm just doubting that was Schlenk's call. What about the NBA where like if a player doesn't like a coach and ownership wants to keep that player, you can do the math there. It's you know, eventually they may try to get themselves traded out of there because they don't like the culture. Speaking of, take three, James Harden headed back to Houston Wednesday night. He returns to face his former team, the Houston Rockets, a relationship that ended pretty badly, if not comically. However, the franchise is evidently over those issues, and they're going to celebrate at some point in the future by retiring Harden's number 13, which he wore for the franchise. Friend of the show, Tillman Fertitta, said, and I quote, "Well, howdy, partner. James Harden will always be a Rocket. Of course, we'll retire his jersey. He made my first 3 years owning this franchise unforgettable. The success he brought this franchise over 8 years, it kind of sounds like Tillman's getting a little choked up here, but it's really just my throat fighting back at me like a rattlesnake in the desert under a hot cowboy sun. He said the success he brought this franchise over 8 years and the memories he created for our fan base community, truly remarkable. This is all just a couple of months from effectively bailing on the team and allegedly going to strip clubs instead of practice. Practice?
Listen, we're talking about practice.
Ethan, I'm wondering if this is enough. A jersey in the rafters for giving Houston a perennial contender for a decade. I'm thinking maybe Key to the City? Street name? What say you?
Hold on. Before you go, Ethan, I need to buy a steak from that guy. Where that guy
where do I go get me? Excellent high school football booster, this guy.
It was just me doing my horrible Charlie Day impersonation from Horrible Bosses 2 where he's trying to be a cowboy as a hostage negotiator.
Oh, man. That's a lot of fun, though. It's definitely a lot of fun. It's been part of this new trend. I mean, you saw it, too, a little bit after Durant left, where Lacob and company, they almost were trying to post-woo him after he exited, where we're going to retire your number. And it's just, I didn't even ask for that. It's this strange trend happening where the guy comes to your organization, it's more good than it is bad, and then he leaves under uncomfortable circumstances. It's ultimately a rejection. You are dumped in the end. And yet there's something to the modern NBA where maybe it's because you want to open the door for them returning. Although they should learn a lesson from Dan Gilbert. You should go the other way. You should play hard to get.
Scorch the earth.
If you burn that bridge, they'll want to cross it. I'm sure that's somewhere. I'm sure maybe Ben Franklin said it.
If they did that, we'd have so many more fonts to work with.
Boy, if I wasn't actively listening, you saying if they want to burn that bridge, they better cross it. That could have been mistaken.
Ooh, no selective editing. Hey, I'm watching a lot of Sopranos these days.
Hey!
Anyway. Hey, easy. That's what you think Tillman Fertitta would talk like based off the name and the family history. I don't know. We got that. Anyway.
Forget about it.
This guy. So I don't know what's going on with that. I don't think that it ultimately matters too much. Houston fans are going to feel however they feel. I don't think that the Harden tribute video is going to make anybody cry when there are fans in the arena. But why not? Guy Gesundt, do it. Retire the jersey.
I think this is all everybody saying, you know what? I don't want to be Oklahoma City. I didn't like how they looked.
Yeah.
They look desperate and petty and thirsty. And yeah, we don't want to be that team. And I don't know how good it is. I think all of this is for future free agents, right? All of this is part of the pandering to players to say, yeah, if you're great here and it doesn't work out, we're still gonna praise you. We're still going to treat you right. And it helps you with current players. It helps you with the next generation of players. But if you're that bitter ex, you know what I'm saying? If you're that, you know.
Doesn't it kind of feel like they are and they're over?
Well, you're just going to get traded as a racist anyway. And who wants that?
It feel like they're overcompensating and it's that Wojak. It's that meme of the guy with the smiley face mask and he's angrily crying behind it. It almost feels a little overcompensating.
Here's the thing, though. They set the bar like they retired Yao Ming's jersey, right? Now, maybe this is too early for announcing you're going to retire James Harden's jersey. I don't know if that's – I mean, you think if you're going to retire it, you just say it. But, like, once you retire Yao Ming, who meant a lot for the franchise, but did he mean more than James Harden? Business-wise, maybe. You know, on the basketball court, definitely not. So, I mean, James Harden, I think, deserves it.
Oh, there's no question James Harden deserves it. They should do it Wednesday night. They should just –
just do just hanging it.
Just hanging it around retire, Wednesday night. Like, there's no question.
Can they retire a Daryl Morey sartorial object? Like, what would it be?
TI-86? Like, some kind of calculator something? Or something? Like, yeah, spreadsheet? Yeah,
that could be good, too.
How did you feel about Oklahoma City after that Durant game?
You know, I think it was something that reverberated more within Warriors world maybe than outside of it. I think the Dan Gilbert thing is something that is more known as, oh man, that's some really bitter stuff right there. But I think because Presti is so much in the background, it just kind of got filed away as, man, there's some crazy fans.
Right? Yeah, it wasn't a singular person.
There was Big Rich on the sidelines acting crazy and burning jerseys.
I mean, Dan Gilbert didn't come off too well either, by the way. Like,
No, we definitely did not. It definitely came off very, very poorly.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's going to be remembered that well, how OKC turned on Durant. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
I don't think people care. I honestly don't. I don't think people care in the long run because they wanted to dislike Durant anyway. But for Harden, he got himself, you know, traded to a New York team.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paulo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man of the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man of the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it. Tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Speaking of Take Four, what superstar is heading to the Knicks next? As we mentioned weeks ago on the restricted area, which you can find on the Athletic's YouTube page, the Knicks are interesting again. Right now, as of recording, 18-18, 6 in the East, playing their best basketball in years under, you bet it, hard-hitting New Britain's Tom Thibodeau. And because of this newfound culture, are the Knicks in a position to acquire a superstar? ESPN's Brian Windhorst said this on a podcast Monday. Quote, "They have one of the top former agents in the league running the organization, Leon Rose. I say within the next 12 months, a star / superstar player demands a trade to New York. I don't know who it's going to be. I have some guesses. I'm not going to say right here. I'll let you guys start thinking about that. Let's just put it this way. League executives certainly have some guesses. I say by next year's trade deadline, a superstar, an all-star, tries to force his way there. They're going to be in position to do that type of trade, and maybe that's where Julius Randle comes in as a trade piece." End quote. Marcus, any guesses on who this star player pining to go to Knickland is?
Duh, Steph Curry. He's been pining to go there since he got drafted.
Send me the alarm, Shed. I need cannons firing, guns shooting, dogs barking for some reason.
The reps and Octagon are going, wait, did we just lose him to CAA? What happened?
Is this 2009 again? What happened, right? I'm going with Bradley Beal, the most obvious choice. You know what? And you know what? Part of the reason I'm saying this is because Bradley Beal deserves the big stage. Like, he's too good. He deserves to be in the New York market, like, dropping 30 a night and being celebrated for how good he is. So, yeah. I'm with that. But, and it makes a lot of sense, too. It would make a lot of sense to pair him with, probably not, because Thibodeau could run him to the ground and in 3 years he'd be trying to get somewhere else. But, hey, maybe that's just the way the NBA life cycle goes, right? Get to New York and then force your way out after Thibodeau rubs you to bones.
I feel embarrassed not knowing this off the top of my head, but is Bradley Beal CAA?
I have no idea. Great question.
That's what informs, I think, the train of thought right here coming from Windhorst. I'm just assuming when you're talking about the Knicks situation, when you're talking about Thibodeau, when you're talking about Leon Rose, CAA runs a large part of the world. I mean, they represent a ton of people within not only the NBA, but NBA media, media in general, Hollywood, tentacles everywhere. That's a reference. So I would think,
Ethan, would you like me to read you the list of basketball clients on CAA.com?
This is what we need. This is what we need right here.
All right, let's try this. Devin Booker.
Oh, okay.
Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
Paul George.
Yep.
Jaren Jackson Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan Mitchell.
Wow. New York area.
Donovan Mitchell, yeah.
Carl Anthony Towns. Well, Carl hated playing for Tom Thibodeau, so probably not him. Oh,
but New York area.
Guys, I got it. Sound the alarms, Jade. Zion Williamson. Whoa!
I like that, you know, you like Zion and all that. What if we got you Julius Randle, who's like
who you've already had, by the way.
Who you already had.
How'd you like him back?
Yeah, well, I think the, you know, people might be taking shots at Brian because it's vague in a way and it seems speculative, but not entirely. If you think CAA has the pull and you read down that roster of clients and you notice a few superstar to on the fringe of superstars who are not in optimal situations, it's really not that much of a speculation that this is happening and it's going to get done one way or the other. I don't think that that's crazy. I don't totally know who it's going to be, but you see a few of those options and you go, yeah, I could see it going that way. I could see it.
No Bradley Beal though, right? Because he's with Bartlestein at Priority Sports. So he's out. No, he's out. Is that what we're saying, Ethan?
I don't know if he's out, but I detect a CAA pipeline when I hear what's being said right there. That's just what I'm picking up on.
Luke Kennard?
Same. Oh, yeah, clearly. Gonna force his way.
I'm going with that. Booker then. If we pick a CAA client, Devin Booker, most disrespected player in the league, to Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, you want to get an easy spot to the All-Star game. Get to the East, man.
Yeah. And you will never be disrespected again, surrounded by the New York media.
Not a one. Oh man, sounds like kind of, you know, just with a setup for the Knicks, might be the perfect grift. Speaking of, take five. Top Shot. What the fuck? What is this craze going on with Top Shot, you ask? There's a number of articles out there that read like this. Jade, cue the sci-fi music. The video sequence is an NFT, a non-fungible token, a virtual object whose identity, authenticity, and traceability are theoretically indisputable and tamper-proof thanks to the same, quote, blockchain technology used to ensure the security of cryptocurrencies like the hugely popular Bitcoin. You got people waiting in virtual queues to buy digital videos with non-fungible tokens, buying easily found videos on YouTube that have serial numbers attached from varying tiered platforms, and all of a sudden the LeBron dunk is being bought for $200,000. But there's a catch. From Dan McQuaid at thedefector.com, Jade, cue the clown music. Quote, much of the Top Shot experience is pretty bad currently. Most users can't withdraw money. New accounts can't sign up. The marketplace is frequently down for maintenance. A pre-order queue on Saturday took hours. I went out, got lunch, ate it, and returned to my computer to find that I was still tens of thousands of people away from getting to make my purchase. I got that $9 pack eventually, but was it fun? Would I have done it if not for the story? What the fuck was I doing? End quote. So, Ethan, I know you've got some thoughts on this, but does it sound like a Ponzi scheme or just some sort of scam to you by any means?
I mean, isn't everything a Ponzi scheme at this
point?
Great point.
Can I know what this is first?
Like, all right, Marcus, so here it is.
What is this?
You buy the rights to
It's like a digital playing card.
It's a digital playing card, except here's the thing. You don't actually own it, but you can sell your portion.
Nobody can use this highlight anymore? Here's the thing.
Everybody can use it constantly with no repercussions. Yeah. That's the thing. But you can then flip said thing for, you know, let's say you bought a Zion Williamson dunk at $30 or $100, something like that, and then someone wanted to buy it at $30,000. You can do that, except I heard from Mike Ryan of Levitard Show with Stu Gatz that you can't, like, you need 6 to 8 weeks to verify your account so that then you can withdraw your money. And then once you start withdrawing your money, you can only do it in $1,000 increments every 30 days. So let's say you sell something for $200,000. You can't just withdraw $200,000 right now because it's still in beta form.
Do you get the interest that they make off holding the money?
Of course you don't.
Where can I show off my Top Shot collection? Because I got some cards, baseball cards. You used to be able to flex the thing, show it to your friend. Is there like a digital space where I could go and just wear my Top Shot cards like phylacteries, like digital phylacteries?
Once they're not worth any money, are they called flaccideries? Once that market goes limp?
I think to speak on behalf of the Top Shot community, and I've been talking to these guys and they've been trying to brainwash me and mostly being successful at it. I mean, what's the difference between Jake Settleman, who is one of the main guys in the Top Shot community, does a demonstration where he holds up a perfect printout of a Mickey Mantle rookie card, which is worth, I don't know, millions of dollars. Who knows? And he says, what's the difference between this printout and the actual card? Really, there's no difference. What we attach to the value is really about scarcity and authenticity. And since the NBA has a hand in this Top Shot phenomenon, it doesn't exist independent of them. They are lending their imprimatur to the Top Shot and saying that there is this amount of them. You know, there is only one of these particular LeBron Kobe tribute highlight dunks that have the serial number 23, which makes that more valuable. That alone just gives it a scarcity, which means collectors want to collect it. Why collectors want to collect it, why they're so into it, that's a whole other question, because it is a very bizarre impulse. But it's an impulse that's been with us a long time. And it's hard for me to really say definitively, if we're going to call this dumb, how is it dumber than baseball cards?
Oh, I don't think it's dumb.
Whoa, yeah.
I just think it's a grift. I think it's a, I think the people got in early.
But baseball cards are also a grift then. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, things only have the value that someone is willing to pay for, right? So inherently anything can have value. Like this water bottle could be worth $1 million if someone decides to pay $1 million for it. Plus, you know, at Talk Hoops and Venmo, if you want to pay $1 million for this water bottle.
That is the water bottle Zach Harper drink.
Exactly. On this very podcast. But it's not dumb. If you're trying to get rich quick off it, Ethan, like, and you're getting in late, that seems like a dumb decision, right? Which seems to be what everyone's rushing.
Here's what I don't understand. If I am buying any memorabilia, the whole point is to be able to flex with it. Like the reason you can sell it is because I can put this baseball on my mantle with the certificate of authenticity. How do we do that with Top Shot? How do I get to flex?
Well, I think in the future you can... I mean, you can, I don't know the details on that, but I'm guessing in the future you can tweet it and say and really show that it's yours and it's shiny and it signifies something.
I'm just going to tweet my own version of it. That's what I'm going to do.
The it's a trap picture that you like is really good. What is that? We should sell, you know, trade some Zach Harper classic GIF Top Shots, but I think it has more versatility than the baseball card or the basketball card, we should say. And that's something that people are interested in, and that it's a little hard to know what is going to be valued. Right now, there's only one LaMelo highlight moment, as I guess we're calling it.
Moment.
And it's a very generic first assist. It's LaMelo's first assist. But for a guy with all these amazing assists, it is one where Gordon Hayward does all the work and it's just a pass. And so it's just interesting to see people making these calculations of this is going to be super popular because it's the first, or this is going to be super popular because it's the coolest. And I think that right there is a little bit of an intellectual exercise in relation to the game that people get more out of than they do for cards, I guess. I mean, it's all crazy.
By the way,
in a digital world,
I believe the UFC is doing this next.
Yeah, so everybody's doing it. You know,
except baseball. Baseball won't let anybody own anything or post anything.
But this is potentially a huge revenue source for the NBA. If you just look at, I mean, every day it seems like Top Shot's doing $50 million of business. If that ramps up, I mean, we don't totally know what the NBA's taste is, but let's just throw a number out there and say, oh, let's say it's 5%. And let's say it goes up higher. Let's say you go from 50, maybe times 3 times 4. You're looking at a lot of money coming into the NBA's coffers off of this Top Shot thing.
Absolutely.
Which basically nobody knew about and came out of nowhere. And it's interesting to me because the NBA really wanted to get in on gambling. And really, and I can say this because I had a gambling column, only the sickest degenerates bet NBA. It is not a broadly popular thing to do, to bet Hawks Grizzlies on a Tuesday night. You know, I can see it because I would write my gambling column and I would see the numbers on the other stuff I wrote, and I would have my little cult following for the gambling column. But there were dozens of us. Dozens.
I mean, Ethan, I put $200 down on Nick Young to win the 3-point contest years ago because it was like 16-1 odds or something like that. And I was devastated that he didn't get out of the first round.
Yeah.
Devastated.
But you're a hardcore NBA guy. This, for whatever reason, seems like it has the potential to expand the brand, and it's out of nowhere.
This random March 5th Steph 3-pointer is asking for $100,000.
Come on, Marcus. Come on. Use that book money.
Use the book sales.
Well, here's what, okay, I'm writing this. I'm okay. So, but here's the thing. Here's what's crazy right here. Okay. And this is something I'm going to cover in my article. It would be crazy for Marcus to spend that money on that highlight unless he can leverage his relationship with Steph to buy it from him. And then everybody's a winner because Marcus made the money off Steph buying it at a markup. But the fact that Steph bought it, and if Steph tweets that I have it, suddenly that is the moment that Steph Curry owns, giving it more demand and authenticity, and somebody will buy it off Steph for even more than he bought it from Marcus.
And then it sounds like
that is the play.
Yeah. Well, Jay, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like they'll have made off with quite a bit of a scheme there.
What I don't understand is why I should be able to go find the highlight I want to buy. And it's dirt cheap. Like if it's around, what if I just want a Patrick McCall highlight because I think he's going to be great?
Someone bought an Obi Toppin three pointer for $800. 800 and Obi Toppin three point. He's not a 3-point. Good deal. He's not a 3-point shooter.
Good deal.
Why would that matter?
Not yet.
What? Do you mean not yet? What? But when he is, will this still be a thing, or will the wallets have been burned to the ground?
Startup investing. I like that.
I can't even buy a pack. 900. What? The packs are sold out.
It's healthier these days to buy a pack of cigarettes than it is to buy a pack of digital whatever the hell these things are. That's gonna do it for. For POC on the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. Make sure you subscribe to the Athletic. Make sure you check out the restricted area on the old Athletic YouTube page. Make sure you're checking out the House of Strauss, all the podcasts, no dunks, everything from the Athletic. Subscribe, get the best sports coverage on the internet. For Ethan Strauss, Marcus Thompson, Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked on the Athletic.
Wait, the Top Shot proceeds go to HBCU?